This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this Saturday morning, we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much, and welcome to Sports Saturday on the last Saturday of October. Yep, you got to check the calendar to verify that it is, in fact, the 29th of October.
And by the way, I did get a couple of calls this week asking about daylight saving time. It's next week. It's now gone to the first weekend of November, not the last weekend of October like it used to be. So people, it used to be that way, but not anymore. So we're on still on daylight saving time for at least another week.
I wish it would just never change.
Well, why?
Such an outdated principle.
It is. It really is. It's really kind of goofy. But
get your candle out. They don't ever.
There's been debates about why it was instituted in the first place.
See, one of the great myths is that it was instituted for the farmers, and in reality, the farmers were some of the biggest opponents of it.
Another one was the fact that it was for what was it? World War II, or one of the wars for more daylight to battle in. I think.
That's always a great idea to have more daylight to fight.
Just what we need, more time to fight.
Yes.
There's just not enough hours in the day to fight. How can we
kindly remove your head from, well, anyway. Yeah. Jeez.
Need to see my opponent.
Wasn't much of a fight last night in Carlinville as the Cavaliers took it to Wood River 76-19.
But you got to admit, the start of the game was rather bizarre.
three onside kick recoveries in the first half. Never seen that before. Game started with an onside kick recovery. Carnival jumped out to a 14-0 lead.
I guess bizarre is not really the word because
no, it fits.
This it's just different, just a little bit different. But cause this is what Carnival does. I mean, so.
And you look at the final, 76-19. It's hard to believe that with 2.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, it was a 2-point game, 14-12. Wood River had a 2-point conversion to try to tie the ball game. Carlinville stuffed them, and they were off and running.
And then Dixon went to work.
Dixon did what Dixon does. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. And Chad, it's always a good morning after a playoff win.
Oh yeah, that's a good feeling on Saturday to get a win. And you know, we're making plans. We're going to go up today and watch Williamsville and Hillsboro. So should be a great atmosphere up there as well.
And they were down watching your ball game last night, and boy, did they see an offensive show, Chad. And I've seen Jacob Dixon have some big games. I saw him score 7 touchdowns in one game, but I don't know that I've seen him have a more impressive game than he had last night.
You know, his explosiveness last night was really something that maybe we haven't seen all year. I thought offensive line did a good job of popping some holes and letting him do the rest. So he didn't have to work for that initial 4 to 5 yards, and we got to see that first. That he's very capable of there, and he did a great job.
Chad, you guys jump out to a quick 14-0 lead, and then Wood River storms back with 12 unanswered, but the turning point of the game is your defense turning them away on that 2-point try.
Yeah, we blew a coverage, mixed up in the defensive backs, and just let a guy go free, and we play a type of defense that's very aggressive, and we know that's going to happen occasionally. Obviously didn't want it to happen in that situation, but, they did. And they held their ground there, and they kicked an onside kick, which we didn't get. And the turning point was, as you said, the 2-point conversion, which I think might have been able to take a little wind out of their sails after a good drive. And then we respond on the next series of taking the ball down and scoring. So I thought that was very pivotal.
And playoff football, I mean, a lot of times it does come down to that one play that can turn the tide. And last night, once you guys got the momentum, you never looked back. And as a coach and with your staff, that had to make you very proud of your club, the way they responded.
Yeah, when you can put up those kinds of numbers in Week 10 and keep the pace of the game going like we did last night, very few errors on offense or defense, really. The game was pretty penalty-free, but I was impressed with that type of aggressiveness on both sides of the ball.
You know, Chad, there was some people from England have been at Carlinville on the teacher exchange program, and they were taking in their first American football game last night. And then I saw something I've never seen before in a football game, 3 onside kick recoveries in the first half.
Well, we have an exchange program at the high school, or actually in our district, and all of their sports over there are all club sports. So, you know, soccer and those types of things are not entities of the school. So they have been very impressed and in awe of the volleyball regional, the cross-country regional, the playoff football atmosphere being tied actually to the school. So that's been fun all week to watch their reactions and things of that, and actually to learn a little bit about what they do. So that's kind of been neat in itself. And then to address your question on the onside kick, that's something you and I have talked about all season. It's something we started, you know, everyone had forgotten Gary Carter was at Wood River and used the onside kick every time. And it's a very, very tough thing to practice, and it's a tough thing to make sure that your kids are prepared for. Obviously, when it works out for you, it's great. When it doesn't, your defense is starting on the 50 or the 48 or something like that. But, you know, it's just one of those things in the game of football that we like to coach. We like to coach every little point of it.
And then, of course, you have the ability with Hayden Thompson. He can kick it deep and actually get it to the end zone.
Yeah, that's a good little triple threat thing we got going on there with our stud kicks and our deep kicks and, you know, Tucker Hughes with the onside and then Hayden, as you said, it puts a lot of stress on the kicking team. I think it's hard for them to get numbered up on who to block, and they're worried more about the recovery process instead of getting the ball advanced down the field.
But, you know, when you have a kid that can put that ball in the end zone on the kickoff, boy, that gives you huge advantages at times when that team has to start back at the 20.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we've taken advantage of both of those situations. So, you know, we actually have two great kickers this year, and I'm happy that one of them's a sophomore, and I'm real happy the other one's for him, and he's a senior. So hopefully we'll keep the pipeline going in that position.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, joining us here on Sports Saturday into the second round for the fifth straight year. And, Chad, you guys have had phenomenal success in that first round of the playoff, and that's not an easy thing to do, to pick up playoff victories, and you guys have done it now 5 years in a row.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the commitment of our players and our coaching staff and the community and the tradition we talked about last week. And, you know, hopefully we can get rid of that Achilles heel in the second round this week. Both opponents, regardless which one wins, going to be a tough one. And as we've talked before, you know, you start with 32 and now you're going to be down to 16 real quick. And there are no easy ones left on your schedule as the season progresses here.
And, Chad, in the second round, obviously the deeper you go in the playoffs, the little things become magnified, and depth can become an issue as well. And I thought last night, Blake Richardson, maybe a name that doesn't get called a whole lot on a given night, but he just kind of, to me, exemplifies your club to where you've got playmakers all over the field.
Yeah, I think that's correct. You know, due to the scheme that they were playing, we were running a certain thing, and Blake ended up to be that guy tonight. And we've had 10 weeks of that. I think you could pick out many kids on our team that may not have been their name that week or their statistics that week. You know, Connor Emmons falls in that category. Kyle Dixon makes a great catch in the end zone. You know, he's another great athlete that we've had. Dylan Chisholm, a tremendous blocking back for us, maybe doesn't get as many carries. So, as you stated, hopefully that will pay off here as we hopefully continue to play a few more weeks with depth. And, you know, in even terms of watching our young kids who just rolled right in the game last night and kept right on going with that playoff atmosphere and put the ball in the end zone one time, I was very pleased with that. So all 55 of them are all about the team effort, and I'm very proud.
And you mentioned your offensive line. Boy, did they play a great game last night. When you have a running back basically going untouched for five touchdowns, that's a tribute to your offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, he gets a ton of credit, and it's well-deserved. It is well-deserved. He is a great athlete, but the front five this year for us have been really, really good and solid at times most of the season. So, as you said, when you're not getting touched for 5 yards, they're doing something right up front.
Jeff, people might not realize it, but Adam Walton, he's completed 60% of his passes this year, and when you have that type of efficiency from the quarterback position at Carlinville, goodness, that makes you guys really tough to defend.
Yeah, he goes on the list we just talked about. I mean, he's one of those silent threats, I think, that people don't recognize, and you know, he's over 1,000 yards for the season, and we talk a lot about when we move to this offense, we were still going to be a ground game oriented offense, but keeping that percentage up around 60 to 65% makes all the difference in the world.
Well, Chad, you mentioned you're going up to Williamsville today to watch the Toppers and the Bullets. I know you do not care who you play one bit, but obviously you're familiar with Hillsboro. You play them every year. But as you've watched Williamsville from afar here, they've had a very successful run of football under Aaron Kuntz. What is it about Williamsville that they do well?
I think they're very similar to us. They're up-tempo. They love to get athletes out in space, and they have them. So that's a great philosophy. But, you know, they have an up-tempo style offense. They do not change a lot defensively. Their kids know where to go. They make very few mental mistakes, which is a huge deal in the second and third round of the playoffs. So, you know, they're had a really good season. I think they lost to North Mac in the rain that night, a close ball game, like 28-21. So, I heard that game could gone either way. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see how the day goes.
Chad Easterday, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Congratulations on the win last night, and we will see you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Chad.
Fifth straight year in the second round.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. The thing of it is, East Dauntless River was not a slouch team. I mean, Carlinville had a lot of things go well for them last night, and East Dauntless River did not. But, you know, in playoff games, that's what you have to do. You have to take advantage of every single opportunity. You know, you got to have the athletes, you got to have the right combination of coaches, you got to have some good fortune come your way. I think Carlinville, has benefited from that all season long, and as most successful teams do, but boy, they were at a different level last night, you know, especially after about halfway through the first quarter. It just really were at operating at a different level.
And a lot of people may have thought, you know, whenever Wood River cut it to 14-12, that, you know, maybe Carlinville overlooked East Dalton Wood River. I don't think that was the case.
No.
I think East Dalton Wood River was maybe better than just everybody thought. I mean, I think everybody thought Carlinville was going to roll right through this from beginning to end. I think they might have just been better than everybody gave them
credit. Well, they did win 76.
Well, it's a game of adjustments, you know, and sometimes adjustments are made at halftime. But the adjustment was made early on last night. They recognized it. They changed things up, and all of a sudden, it all clicked. And from that point on, Carlinville dominated the football game, which is, you know, the game plan.
You never know what will be the play that turns the game. And last night it was the defensive stand turning away the 2-point conversion, and they never looked back after that. So Carlinville into the second round for the fifth straight year, and they will get either Hillsborough or Williamsville. We will have that broadcast today from Williamsville High School, 12:45 with the pregame 1 o'clock kick on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Our broadcast feature here on FM 106 will come to you from Verdon today as North Mac will entertain Beardstown. That will also have a 12:45 pregame with a 1 o'clock kick. T-Toad and Dan Newkirk will have the call today from North Mac, and that'll be a fun atmosphere
That'll be great. That's the great thing, you know, and these visitors that Carlinville entertained from England, they didn't understand the big crowds, and how the high schools get behind, the community gets behind the high school. That's the difference between club teams and teams representing the high school. And that's what makes high school sports in America a whole different ball of wax and so exciting. I mean, it's just, it's a whole different thing when we're talking club teams. You just don't have that following sometimes.
And it was so much fun being there for the pregame at the, right on the field, you know, with the fans and the band right behind us. It was just, the atmosphere was incredible.
The band is on the field.
Yeah.
The band is on the field.
At the appropriate time.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
9:20 on this Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. I do want to mention there's a tennis court fundraiser going on today in Bunker Hill, and I mentioned it, Terry, because it's being put on by a couple of kids in fourth grade.
There you go.
Now, when I was in fourth grade, I don't even want to tell you what I was doing. I wasn't doing anything to help my community. That can be assured. But all the proceeds going to go to the Bunker Hill Kiwanis Club. So if you would like to show up to the Bunker Hill tennis course today, they're out by the high school, 9-1. So it's underway now. They'll be there till 1 o'clock. Get out. Yep. Help support these young fourth graders who are doing a great cause for their community. And, you know, that stuff warms your heart.
Oh, it does. It's, you know, whether it be kids helping the Kiwanis, we've had some Eagle Scout projects at the park in Raymond that, built both of our batting cages and it's really tremendous when young people get involved. And, you know, it usually is successful because the community tends to get behind the kids.
Hey, if two fourth graders
yeah.
can do it, there's no excuse for the adults not to step up and do their part.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of embarrassing. Yeah. Will you donate? Well, of course I will.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going on at the
How
tennis court.
How can I help? Yeah.
Till 1 o'clock today yeah. in Bunker Hill. Lots of IHSA State Series events going on right now. We're going to start with the football scores from last night, then we'll roll in to the other events. We mentioned Carlinville rolled over Wood River 76-19 in Class 3A. Two other 3A games last night, Farmington beat Winnebago 40-36, and Wilmington beat Chicago Corliss 51-8. In Class 1A last night, we said on the road to Champaign, tough draw for the Pawnee yeah. Indians drawing the Athens Warriors, and that proved to be true. Athens wins last night 60-22 at Pawnee. Forreston, they beat Luther North out of Chicago 67-0. And then Toulon Stark County, they beat Westminster Christian out of Elgin 35-14 in the three 1A games played last night. So I would imagine in Pawnee, probably a lot of disappointment this morning. They had some pretty high hopes going into the season, but guys, we always talk about the draw is the most important thing if you're going to make a deep playoff run, and Pawnee did not get a good draw.
It was not a favorable draw, definitely not. So
in Class 4A last night, Civic Memorial, they got Rochester 52-7 last night in the opening round. Taylorville beat Alton Marquette 32-24. It was Mount Zion over Olney Richland County 41-0. And Belleville Althoff Catholic crushed Carterville 53-14. In 6A, one game of local interest, SHG, they won, shocking, beat Normal Community West 57-20. And in 8A, Edwardsville, after losing in the first round last year, survived in overtime last night over Oak Park River Forest 23-20. So the Tigers survived there, and
kicking
who knows?
A field goal for the winning points. Wow.
That was a Friday night game hosting a Chicago school.
How about that, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, and boy, so many Chicago schools have had to come down to Edwardsville to play that first round playoff game.
I'm sure that was not a fun ride.
Well,
back.
O'Fallon's on the road today, so, you know, they, yeah.
Belleville West is too, I believe. Belleville West
yeah.
is heading up there too.
Yeah. We'll get to them here in just a bit.
Yeah. So those were the scores from the games played last night. Of course, most of the football games will be played this afternoon, but so much more going on just outside of football.
Sure. Well, we have an opportunity. The cross-country sectional will be hosted by Effingham St. Anthony High School. And we do have some local teams and individuals that are moving on to the sectional level of competition. Of course, if you survive the sectional cut, then it's on to the state tournament next weekend. But teams from Litchfield and Carlinville girls, the girls regional at Carlinville last week have advanced to the sectional competition. Litchfield has as their team members Alexis Throne, Maddie Throne, Brianna Travis, Caroline Quarton, Ellie Holland, Jordan Brand, and Anna Bauer. And for Carlinville, Rory Drew, Patty Walsh, Mackenzie Harris, Molly Lewis, Stacia Niemanowski, Skylar Nickel, and Rachel Allroyd, Claudia Magnuson from Pena, who has been one of the premier runners in the area for the last, well, her entire high school career.
Exactly right. She's heard that name a lot.
Yeah, Claudia is also in there as an individual. And a young lady from Greenville, Emma Leonard from Greenville, also competing as an individual in the cross country. The Carlinville boys team also made it. Members of that team include Jason Landon, Samuel Mock, Charles Helton, Grayson Armour, Bailey Lippold, and Cale Williams. Also advancing, Ryan Pogumpole from Litchfield, Caden Bone from Southwestern, and Jacob Lotonis from Pena. And those kids will all run today. I think the, girls start at 10 and the boys start at 11.
You know, we talked a lot about how great the weather is for football, but it's even better if you're a cross country runner. You're expecting cold and almost rainy conditions at this point.
Well, you know, certainly the chilly weather I don't think hurts runners. A lot of times it's more comfortable. But certainly, you know, running in rain is never fun.
But, I mean, to me, this is almost going to be a perfect day.
Oh, this is terrific. Oh. Yeah, this is terrific weather. This is terrific. So you can't really go wrong. Also, the IHSA 1A Boys State Soccer Tournament semis were yesterday. Normal University High beat Waterloo Jabot 1-0. Westchester St. Joseph beat Bloomington Cornerstone Academy 4-0, so Waterloo Jabot and Cornerstone play for third at 3. Westchester St. Joseph for Normal U High at 5 for the boys' state championship in 1A. Winners in 2A sectional championship yesterday, Jacksonville beat Waterloo 2-1 in penalty kick overtime. QND, Quincy Notre Dame beat Washington in 2 overtimes, 2-1, and Springfield High beat Glenwood 1-0. And in 3A, it was Peoria Notre Dame beating Collinsville 2-1 after a penalty kick overtime. So.
All right, and then, of course, volleyball has been going on as well, and Carlinville won a regional as they beat Hillsboro.
Yes, they did.
Night.
And moving on to the 2A sectional, Carlinville will play Shelbyville at Vandalia. That'll be the second match at Vandalia on Tuesday night. The first match has Pena playing Newton at 5:30. The Shelbyville-Carlinville match at Vandalia will be at 6:30. Other 2A matchups, you have at Argentia-Orianna, St. Joe Ogden and St. Thomas More out of Champaign. And again, Downs Tri-Valley, they seem to be in every playoff, taking on Arthur. At Beardstown, Riverton meets Quincy Notre Dame, and Deer Creek Mackinac plays Pleasant Plains. At Pinckneyville, Edwards County against Redbud, and Belleville Altoff against Hamilton County McLeansboro. In 1A, at Jacksonville route, you've got Springfield Lutheran and Calhoun, and Mott Olive taking on New Berlin. The Wildcats won their regional, and they will face the Pretzels of New Berlin. That'll be a 6:30 game for the Cats at Jacksonville route. Prior to that, at that Lutheran-Calhoun game at 5:30. At Lebanon, Clay City against Metro East Lutheran and Woodlawn against South Central. And at Marion Crab Orchard, Norris City will take on Gallatin County and Cobden plays Valmeyer. In 3A at Muskuta on Tuesday night, in the two semifinals, Murfreesboro against Muskuta, Columbia against Massac County. At Mount Zion, Jacksonville and Champaign Central, and Mount Zion and Taylorville. And in 4A, O'Fallon and Edwardsville will play in the Belleville West sectional on Tuesday. So girls volleyball rolling right along.
And where have the years gone? Jill Niehaus and her crew are seniors.
Oh, my God.
They were just freshmen last week. I'm almost certain of
it. They were eighth graders just last week, Tim. But no, they're not. That's not the case. Not the case. What a group.
Mm.
What an outstanding group.
Yeah, good to see that group get their regional championship.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, we got a pretty good shot of winning the sectional, I think.
Yeah. Obviously, Calhoun is in there, but Calhoun is not what Calhoun has been the last couple of years. They're still a very good club,
team, but
they're not the juggernaut that they've been the last two or three seasons.
Yeah, you know, Calhoun's still the team to beat, let's be honest, but you know.
You got Jill Niehaus, you got a chance.
You've got some terrific athletes, so good luck to the Cats and to the Cavaliers.
Absolutely. So. Kelsey Card was back in town last night. She was at the football game. Got a big standing ovation from the crowd when she was announced.
She'll be the Rotary Halloween Parade Grand Marshal tonight.
I'd say she earned that.
She earned that. And Kelsey, by the way, I did give Tim his T-shirt.
That's right. I got my shirt, and it's a great T-shirt. Thank you, by the way.
Yes. We appreciate
that. Hey, did Terry give you the Rio T-shirt? No.
Well, what happened was after Kelsey gave us the T-shirts, then in the next few Saturdays, I was gone. I was out broadcasting elsewhere, so I wasn't even on the show. So that's my excuse. It's a lame excuse, Tim. But it works today.
I'm buying.
Today it'll work.
I'm buying what you're selling.
Monday it won't be any good, but today it'll work.
And, of course, Kelsey, she was happy last night to get to watch her brother Daniel play. She was home a few weeks ago to go to the Greenville game, and it got rained out. Then she had to fly back out of town, but she actually got to watch her brother play last night. So
what a tremendous athlete and a tremendous person. So
great family.
Great, great representative for the city of Carlinville, this Carlinville schools, and Big Ten, and Team USA.
I mean, all of it.
Yeah, all of it. Boy, what a package.
Yes. So. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
9:32 on this Saturday morning. Back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. A pair of 3A playoff football games on the Tally Broadcasting Stations today. Both will kick at 1. North Mac will host Beardstown. Live coverage 12:45 with the pregame right here on FM 106. Hillsboro traveling to Williamsville. Also a 1 o'clock kick, 12:45 pregame on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And the Carlinville Cavaliers get the winner of Hillsboro and Williamsville. The Toppers can spring the upset. Hillsboro will host Carlinville next week. If Williamsville takes care of business today, they will travel to Carlinville next week for the second round. And looking into this Hillsboro-Williamsville game, on paper, it should be Williamsville's game. But the Toppers this year have gotten back to their roots, I guess you could say, where they're playing that physical brand mm-hmm. of football. And if they take care of the ball, mm-hmm. they can have those grind out type of drives sure. that they do where they can chew the clock and control the time of possession. They can be in this ball game in the fourth quarter. And if you're in the ball game in the fourth quarter, that's all you can ask.
Well, and Hillsborough has different weapons they can use, too. I mean, they have a lot of different options. They can run the ball. They've got Mitchell Reynolds who can throw the ball and actually run the option. And at times, he's been as effective as anybody keeping the ball himself. So, yeah, the Toppers, you know, take care of the football. They're in this ball game all the way through. So
we've heard about Jace Franklin quite a bit for Williamsville, but probably the most dangerous player that's going to be on the field for the Bullets is the quarterback, Justice Ferrier. Probably going to be the best quarterback that Hillsborough has seen to this point, and it's going to be a challenge right here keeping him in check. You can keep Franklin in check. Can you keep Ferrier in check?
Well, and can they make Williamsville go down the field in a series of plays? Can they eliminate those two
scores.
Or three yeah. play scoring drives where maybe Franklin busts off a 70 or an 80-yard run? Because if that starts to happen and then the Hillsborough offense gets sent three and out, that's when the ball game could get out of control in a hurry from a Topper perspective.
But the Toppers are a team that, like you mentioned, are back to playing smash-mouth football.
And like to hit you.
They like to hit you, and Williamsville will be – they will know they've been hit. So.
Oh, yeah. They'll be ready for an ice bath after this ball game.
Yeah, yeah. They, you know, Toppers are going to be physical. And
Williams will be, too.
Oh, sure. But, you know, that's why they play the games.
So that's exactly right. But, you know, Hillsborough, the last few years, their numbers were down a little bit. They had to go to I don't want to say it was a gimmicky offense, but, you know, they had a lot of spinning in the backfield and just, you know, trying to trick people.
Right.
Because that was what their personnel kind of dictated. This year, they don't have to trick people.
No.
They got good size up front. They're coming downhill right at you. Dare you to stop them.
So.
They don't have to face Avante Cox either, because he was the one who lit up the scoreboard against Hillsborough in the playoffs 2 years ago. Of course, he had a big game for Rochester last night. So it's one less weapon you have to worry about.
They replaced him, though.
Yeah, this is true. They reload.
Hey, I mean, think about Williamsville. They were 5-4 last year. But before that, four straight undefeated regular years, and they were second in state 2 years ago, and before that they were in the quarterfinals 4 or 5 years in a row. If you remember, that was the same time as the Greenville run. Mm-hmm. Greenville's hurdle was the state semifinal. Williamsville's hurdle was that state quarterfinal until they finally got over it 2 years ago. But this is a team under Aaron Kuntz who is accustomed to deep playoff runs.
Sure. And the expectations are high. That's what happens with programs that are hugely successful.
That's right. And of course, our other broadcast feature today has North Mac hosting Beardstown, and the Panthers also have sky-high expectations for the year, and they've had them all year. And when we've talked to Shane Owsley throughout the year, definitely have always gotten the sense that they have not gotten over that Tolono playoff loss from last year.
No. And there are times that even professional teams will point to a loss the previous season and use that as their guidepost to extend their postseason the following year. I think that's what the Cubs have done. I mean, they were eliminated by the Mets last year, and they were bound and determined to make it to the World Series. Now, whether they win the World Series or not, that's up in the air. But, you know, they were bound and determined to make it that way. And I agree with you. I think North Mac, it's stuck in their craw. And they're still ticked off about it. So they want redemption. And the Panthers are a dangerous team.
Starts today for them.
They've got a lot of weapons, and they're going to be playing in front of a home crowd that's absolutely crazy and loud, and you know, should be a fun ball game.
The best teams that I personally saw this year with my own eyes, obviously Carlinville out of the South Central, and then those three Sangamo teams, North Mac, Williamsville, and Marrora. There's really just not much that separated those three Sangamo clubs. They all beat each other, all finished 8-1.
Well, and I happened to do the Auburn-North Mac game, which was won late in the ball game with a two-point conversion from Kendall Bearden to give North Mac the win over Auburn. Auburn's a 5-4 team that plays at Newton today. And as I said last night on the pregame, Auburn may be a 16 seed in Newton number one, but I'm saying Auburn is a dangerous, dangerous 16th seeded team. And I'm going to bet they're going to win.
Yeah, I'm not going to go against you on that one at all.
I tell you,
that's another team that no matter what their regular season record is, and more times than not, it's a very good regular season record. But this is a club under Dave Bates, also accustomed to deep playoff runs.
Well, and you know, we talked with Dave on Monday night on our road to Champaign, and he was talking about, you know, getting some kids back, and you know, when that happens, good things tend to happen to teams, no matter the sport. When you get healthy, good things happen.
And Auburn hasn't been this healthy, basically, all season. So, but, yeah, look out for the Trojans today.
Yeah.
That's one of those. Newton, when they saw that draw, it's like, oh, man. Oh, no.
Really?
Oh, no.
Really? Defending runner-up.
Yeah, not Auburn. Yeah. Anybody but Auburn.
Couldn't you have found another, you know, 7-2 team?
Yeah, short elation when you find it. Hey, we're the top seed. Oh, wait, we got to face Auburn. Yeah.
And, the way that the playoff structure is set up, if Auburn does spring the upset today, they're home in round two, and they are a tough, tough team to beat at home.
They are in that part of the bracket where there would be Marshall or Payne.
Yeah, they're not home if they face Marshall, though, because Marshall's the better seed. Marshall would be at home, I believe.
Okay, you're right.
So Auburn, you know, if they win, they would be on the road to Marshall, or they're going to be on the road either way.
No, they'd be at home.
No, they'd be at home against Payne. Payne. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Payne has a home game today. That's right. Yeah.
Of course, Payne
is hosting Marshall. Yeah.
Going to be a fun day of football. From a fan's perspective, the weather is just going to be absolutely ideal to go out today. Wherever you're going around the state, go somewhere and check out a ball game today.
Well, playoff football atmosphere, you know, you have great Friday night lights experience, but then there's the playoffs. When you get to the playoffs, it's just a little bit different, a little more electricity in the air, a little more at stake, just a lot of fun.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
You kind of get goosebumps when you show up at the venues, you know, and you see the people milling around in the crowds, and it's just, you know, I bet those folks from England are scratching their
heads. Oh, they had a great time.
They must have had a great time last night at Carlinville watching that, you know, the atmosphere and everything.
I asked the gentleman I was talking to him at halftime if it annoyed people from England that we basically took the name of their game and applied it to our game. And he's like, no, not really. He's like, but I haven't seen too much kicking.
Yes. You really don't use your foot that much, do you?
That's probably the most common bullet point that's brought up whenever someone asks someone from Great Britain about, you know, American football versus international football.
Yeah. I was surprised, though. He said that it's catching on over there.
Oh, yeah.
He knows a couple of high school kids who are playing the sport.
Yeah.
So,
with the communications networks that are available now and the fact that video is available, I mean, things, you know.
They've had some pretty good crowds at those
NFL
games.
The NFL plays at Wembley Stadium every year. I mean, they're trying to, you know, broaden their base.
The Rams were just there last week, and I think it was sold out. So if the Rams are selling out in England, it's catching on.
But the NFL and football, American style, still has a way to go to catch up to the crowds that are generated
goodness.
It never will.
International football.
They'll draw big crowds, but it'll never catch it.
Yeah.
No, but they had a fun time with their high school football experience.
And you're right, Tim. They were, I don't think they quite understood how high school sports gets integrated into the school system. That was a whole different concept for them. Yeah.
Takes it to a different level.
Yeah.
And that, we've talked about it before that, you know, with funding being what it now is in the state, hopefully we're not going to go the way of England and wind up with most of these sports becoming club type
sports. And as we like to point out, it's just a different classroom. Yeah. You know, it really, really is an educational process. You learn about discipline. You learn about things that, you know, you didn't think you could do and end up doing. It's just a different kind of classroom. So there's a great tie-in there, and we're very fortunate. You know, Illinois may be in a terrible shape as far as the finances are concerned, but, you know, the concept of high school sports, I think, is one of the positives.
Absolutely. North Mac entertains Beardstown today, 12:45 with the pregame here on FM 106. Hillsborough traveling to Williamsville. Pregame coverage at 12:45 on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Both of those games in the Class 3A playoffs.
Other 3A, as we mentioned, Auburn at Newton today, Marshall at Pena, Tolono Unity at Vandalia.
That's a tough draw for the Vandals.
Oh, that's a tough draw for the Vandals. The Greenville Comets on the road. They play at Columbia.
Tough draw for the Comets.
Very tough draw for the Comets. Breeze Central entertains Breeze Modern Day in a matchup that I thought would never happen in the matchup of Breeze teams.
Think anybody will show up for that one?
I just don't. Yeah, there's just going to be this massive humanity.
That'll massive be like the old humanity. School day. The shops will be closed. Yeah, everyone will be at the field.
We're going to shut everything down for about 3.5-4 hours.
Yeah, the question is anybody from Breeze not at the game?
Yeah. That's the better question.
That could be the easy. Yeah, you can count on one hand probably the people who aren't there. Some 1A action today. Carrollton at Camp Point Central. Calhoun is at Arcola. Greenfield Northwestern at Brown County. And that's pretty much our local teams.
So. All right, going to be a fun day of football around the state. We need to get to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the World Series. What a day in Chicago it was. And then, unfortunately, the Cubs went out and laid a goose egg, literally. Still haven't scored a run in the World Series at Wrigley since 1945. I saw the other day it scrolled across, and this is when you know it's been a long time. It was 311 years since the Cubs had hosted a game in the World Series at Wrigley Field. 311 years ago, and they still haven't scored a run. Back to talk about the World Series in a moment.
We will have more high school football for you with the playoffs today here on WSMI FM 106 and over on WSMI AM 1540. Now back to Sports Saturday with Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
And the Illini on the Ox today playing
Minnesota. The Golden Gophers.
Well, they didn't get beat 78-0 last week at Michigan, so that was good. But, you know, Jim Harbaugh. I like Jim Harbaugh. I got nothing against Jim Harbaugh. He knows how to coach. But he might want to work on his class just a little bit. I mean, they are trouncing Illinois last week. Just trouncing them. And with like 2 or 3 minutes to go in the game, he challenges. Why?
Rivalry game.
Since when?
Michigan and
Illinois become football.
Michigan
rivals?
And Illinois have quite the rivalry. It's a historic rivalry.
Oh, I don't know about that.
See, rivalries only work when teams have a chance of beating each other.
Like, yeah, but tell that to the fan bases.
To me, you can really only have one rival though. Ohio State and Michigan are rivals.
Right. But
Illinois is not on the radar. Illinois and Northwestern are rivals.
Illini fans do not like Michigan.
Well, that's a different. That may be, but that doesn't mean it's a rivalry game.
I'm
going to put it this way.
Game.
Illinois fans can think whatever they want. There's no way anybody in Ann Arbor, Michigan says, hey, we're playing our rivals from Illinois today. There's no way that sentence has ever been uttered.
Yeah.
I don't think. Illinois hates Michigan. That's fine. But that's not a rivalry game.
That's more out of jealousy than anything.
Not like the Illinois-Ohio State rivalry that I told you about with the Illibuck trophy.
Basically, every game in the Big Ten has some sort of trophy.
That's right.
On the line. Speaking of which, I don't remember what the teams were. It was like Central Florida, maybe it was South Florida, and UConn played a game.
Central Florida.
And I guess UConn decided that they wanted to have a trophy for the game. Well, UConn lost the game. Did you say Central Florida?
I think it was Central Florida.
Central Florida left the trophy on the field and left. Just left it there. We don't want that thing. Get it out of here.
Wow.
So that's a little embarrassing.
Yeah. It's called creating a rivalry.
Yeah.
And failing.
Forcing.
At it.
Yeah. But when the team says, nah, you can have that. Fail.
Nice consolation prize. You keep the trophy.
We'll take the game. You can have the trophy. Enjoy that. Put it in your trophy case. Got to have something other than basketball trophies in there.
Listen, we know you wanted this more than us, so you can
clearly
go ahead and keep it.
That's exactly right. Well, the big trophy on the line right now in Major League Baseball, of course, is the World Series trophy. And what a ball game last night. An all-time classic. Not very often do you get 1-0 World Series games. And then the drama in the bottom of the ninth inning. Woo.
First 1-0 finish since 2005.
Wow.
Yeah.
When the White
Cubs
Sox
had their
clinched
chance.
The World Series.
Cubs had their chance. Cleveland had their chance early, too. You know, it was just great pitching. And good pitching will always stop good hitting. And
apparently the Cubs cannot hit good pitching.
Yeah, they've struggled here.
Shut out 4 times in the playoffs. Two of the 3 World Series games.
And Kluber is pitching again today, but he's pitching on short rest. So we'll see how that goes.
Indians have 5 shutouts to their name this postseason.
A record.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what's going to happen in this series. I picked the Cubs in 6 before the start. Mm-hmm. And then after game 2, I bought in and I said, this series isn't going back to Cleveland. Cubs are going to win in 5. Now, I don't know. I guess I'll stick with the Cubs in six until that can't happen, but I tell you what, Cubby's in a little bit of trouble now.
It kind of changes after each game.
It does. But if the Indians go out and score first tonight, oh my goodness, Wrigley Field is going to be tense.
Yeah.
And this is where home field can work against the Cubs in this spot. Those fans, I mean.
The pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You feel the additional pressure.
The biggest question to me will be, how will Andrew Miller and I think it's Brian Shaw, I don't remember his first
bounce
name.
Bounce back.
As well as Allen, their closer. You know, they've pitched quite a few, they pitched quite a few innings yesterday. So they're going to have to do it again probably, because Kluber's not going to go deep,
no,
I wouldn't think.
If Kluber can go six innings, that would be a...
That's a win.
That's a miracle tonight. I mean, he is pitching on short rest. If he can give Cleveland five, they'll turn it over to the bullpen. So, but, the Cubs there, the Cubs really need to find a way to... they've struggled with the breaking pitches. Cleveland has done a great job of pounding them inside. And mixing up the pitches and Cubs just have struggled.
All year long, the Cubs hunted fastballs.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And they're not getting them now.
No. It also kind of shows, in those first two games, maybe how much respect there was for Kyle Schwarber in the lineup. Because he's not going to be in the lineup unless he's pinch hitting here in Chicago. Yeah. So, he must have made that much of a difference.
The one thing the Cubs have going for them today, though, is Lackey. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times, you need that veteran.
Bulldog.
Been there, done that. Guy that can get in your face, say, now look, let's get our stuff together here, fellas. This is only game four. We've got a long way to go. If you're a Cub fan, I think you feel a lot of confidence with John Lackey, even though you're going against the reigning Cy Young Award winner from Cleveland.
He's been a big game pitcher his entire career. Yeah. Remember, he started game four in the NLCS when the Cubs were down 2-1 and did what Lackey does, and we know what happened.
Yeah, and Lackey's kind of got that, if you're a Cardinal fan, you remember the Chris Carpenter, that intensity, that bulldoggedness. That's John Lackey. And, if you're a Cub fan, I think you have to feel confident that Lackey's on the hill today.
Absolutely. And to David's point about Kyle Schwarber, that is one of the most impressive baseball feats I think I've ever seen. He got hurt on the third game of the year, played like two games in the Arizona Fall League, and then comes out in the World Series and just starts raking. He's their best hitter. And boy, has he blown up any baseball player or any announcer who wants to say, well, you got to get player
timing.
X in there. He hasn't played for 3 weeks. He's going to lose his timing. Oh, really? Kyle Schwarber didn't play for 6 months and came out and raked in the World Series. So
basically showed you don't need spring training.
Well, he basically did prove that. And every other player now is going to say, can't say it was rust.
Yeah.
But Kyle Schwarber's just that good.
Well, he's just that
special
good.
Talent.
And there are people who can do that sort of thing. And then there are people, most who cannot. So
the question for the Cubs next year, and obviously they're not worried about that at all right now, can Schwarber play the outfield after that knee injury? Because if he can't, he's got to play first base. And you know what that means. See, I've said this before. Cubs fans think I'm crazy. If I'm the Cubs, I try to trade Rizzo this offseason. Before he's due big money, you're going to be able to get a haul of talent back for him, and then you can put the great Kyle Schwarber over at first base. Rizzo's older than all those guys.
Yeah. He is.
He's 27, 28.
I still think he's better in left than he is at first, especially with the knee injury.
But is he going to be able to play left, though? He was a
He's bad in left field, but I don't think he'd play first base, honestly. I don't think he's a good enough defender, and I think the knee's going to be a problem at first base.
I think he's got a better chance to play first base for 10 years than play left field.
I think Lance Berkman showed what a first baseman with knee problems can do to you. And he went to the outfield late in his career and had a great year.
The difference though is he played the outfield earlier in his career as well. Schwarber is kind of one of those players. He has no position. Yeah, he can't play first, but he can't play left either. And he couldn't catch either. Really, he's a hitter. And the Cubs have shown no interest in trading him, and you see why. I mean, this kid is a stud who just rakes. And the old adage, if you can hit, they will find a place for you to play.
Sure. I mean, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. The Cubs, even though the fans won't admit it, nobody in the front office will admit it, Epstein's thinking about it.
He has to be. Because the problem you have when you bring all these young players up at the same time is they're all going to be arbitration eligible and free agents at the same time. So think about it. Bryant's not going anywhere.
No.
That's a $200 million plus contract. Russell's not going anywhere. That's a $200 million plus contract.
I don't know about that.
Baez is the same thing.
With Baez coming on, Russell might be expendable.
I don't think so, though, because Baez will play second, Russell plays short. Mm-hmm. Ben Zobrist is almost 40 years old.
And they still have more middle infielders in the system.
Yeah.
They're stocked. They're stockpiled.
It's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem to have. They got a lot of talent that's going to be due a lot of money.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Oh, by the way, if you do something with Schwarber in the outfield, you also still have Albert Almora Jr.
Oh, they've got an embarrassment of riches. I mean, they really do. And do you think they're regretting that Jason Hayward signing yet?
Oh, is he going to start in the World Series at all?
Why would he? He had a chance to be a hero last night and did
everything
what he does.
Everything is ground ball to the right.
Mm-mm-mm.
He's an out right now. That's all
$184 million pinch runner.
Yeah.
And defender. He's still good defensively.
Not that good. Not $184 million good, I'll tell you that much right now.
I don't know if anybody is that good.
Like, I love his defense and his base running. His base running, he can't get on base.
Yeah.
But it's not my problem.
That's true, John Michael Martin. Not our problem.
As Whitey Herzog used to tell the great Vince Coleman, you can't steal first.
And he had a chance. I thought he was going to hit a home run last night. I really didn't win the game 2-1 because that was the perfect opportunity for all of Chicago to
kind of wipe out the past season and you know, reestablish yourself.
If he comes through there, that's all anybody's going to remember about the year. They won't remember that he hit .230 and 7 home runs. Yeah. They'll remember, hey, he came through in the bottom of the ninth inning in the World Series.
Well, in the series isn't over. He still could.
Yeah.
And there's still some more games.
Oh, he could.
He could.
Yeah. He could, but it's not looking well for him.
Hey, nice troll job by John Hamm last night at the game.
No, I didn't see him there.
Oh, he was at the game, wore his, I think it was like a 1908 or 1903 Cardinals hat. Of course, John Hamm from St. Louis.
Yes.
Avid Cardinal fan.
Yeah. It was great. They were panning to all the former Cubs players in the stands as well as the celebrities, and they pan over to John Hamm, and he's got the Cardinals, the old style
Cardinals
hat.
Did you see Bill Murray's seventh inning stretch last night?
The Daffy Duck?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Vintage Bill Murray.
Yeah.
He knows how to have a good time.
Yes.
Did you see Scott? Well, yeah, we saw it online.
We saw Scotty Pippen.
Scotty, that was the worst rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game I've ever seen. That's like with Ozzy Osbourne and Mike Ditka. At least they somewhat knew the words. Scotty Pippen didn't even know the words.
You're supposed to lead the crowd, not let the crowd lead
you.
That's
exactly right. No Tippin Pippen had no idea what was going on. No clue. Brutal.
I'm just here. I'm just kind of here.
I mean, if you're going to sing the song, you think you would at least glance at the words. Figure them out.
You would think the same thing.
Don't
they
have them on the scoreboard?
You would think. They got a nice big board there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You could say the same thing about the national anthem, but how many times have we seen celebrities botch that?
Well.
That to me,
that's a hard song.
That's a little bit different because those are professional singers, and it's a much more watched thing. Take Me Out to the Ball Game is a lighthearted thing, but you got to know the words. Who doesn't know the words to Take Me Out to the Ball Game? Come on.
Scottie Pippen.
Just recite them if you can't sing them. Just recite them, you know?
They always say, fake it till you make it.
There you go.
He didn't fake it, and he did not.
Take me out to the ball game.
Scotty will not be asked back to do seventh inning.
No, they might take him on the south side for a Sox game, but no more Wrigley. We are out of time here on Sports Saturday. North Mac in Beardstown, 1 o'clock today on FM 106. Hillsboro and Williamsville, 1 o'clock today on AM 1540 and 106.9. Pre-game coverage for both at 12:45. For David Jenkins, Terry Tote, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Enjoy your sporting weekend.